I was still nursing a bruised groin after being duffed up by a belligerent forklift driver. The assault occurred in a warehouse where I'd been filming a corporate video for Granny's Kitchen, purveyors of ironically chintzy neo-vintage homeware products. Maybe I'd pushed my luck when I accused Trevor of killing a young woman from sales, but I can't resist a puzzle, and all the clues pointed his way. On the plus side, Ken Colborne, head of marketing, had given me a couple of corporate tickets for Wimbledon as a salve for not pressing charges.
What a shot!
This had raised my stock with Francis, who was looking forward to some centre court action. I, unsurprisingly, was looking forward to the free bar. Plus ça change and all that.
How about that for a rally?
Yeah.
I've worked up quite a thirst.
You woke up a thirst watching grass grow. Come on.
We waded ego-deep through a crowd of old Etonians with a misplaced sense of personal entitlement till we reached the Granny's Kitchen marquee.
Do you recognise anyone at all in here?
One or two. The guy in the deck chair stripes is Ken Colborne. He gave us the tickets.
What about the girl who's forgotten to put a dress over her underwear?
Well, I hadn't really... Oh, that girl.
That girl?
No idea.
Charles, you made it.
Ah, Francis, this is Ken.
Nice to meet you, Francine.
Francis.
Ken's head of marketing.
Is it you we have to thank for the invite?
Oh, our pleasure. Everything all right now, Charles?
He's badly bruised and...
Dignity.
It wasn't your dignity that needed a whole bag of frozen peas.
There's an image for you to cherish, Ken.
Yeah, right. So, the champagne bar's over there.
There you are.
Oh, let me introduce my better half. Tricia, this is Charles and Frankie.
Frankie?
Francis.
Leaning on a Granny's Kitchen floral walking stick, Tricia was thin, but not healthy gym slim. Her face was gaunt, complexion pallid, and when she placed a frail hand in mine, I was scared it might break.
Enjoying the tennis?
Enormously. Have you seen much?
I've been in here playing the dutiful wife. You know what it's like.
Frances is an off-dutiful wife.
Gets spaz of the year.
Trisha's deep-set eyes moved nervously between us, clearly unused to the sparring which defined our relationship.
I'm looking forward to the mixed doubles.
Me too. Where did we get some food? I've been up there together.
Good idea. All this meeting and greeting makes me really hungry.
Sure you're all right?
Don't fuss, Ken. I can still just about walk.
Ken's worried gaze stayed with his wife till she and Francis were subsumed by the crowd.
Sorry, Charles.
No.
She'd hate me saying this, but she puts on a brave face. Anyway, if you'll excuse me, I'd better do my bit.
I made my way across the tent and shuffled to my spiritual home at the front of the bar scrum. Champagne, please.
Excuse me, babes.
Me? It was the girl who'd forgotten to put a dress on over her underwear.
I hate queue jumping, but I'm so little, I can't get the barman's eye. You couldn't get one for me, could you?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Could you make that too? Yeah. Reversing through the throng, I handed a glass to the waiting hand, inked and twinkling with rings.
Oh, what a hero.
She caught me trying to decipher a heavily calligraphed arm.
It says Shelley in Thai.
I don't speak Thai.
Me neither.
You're very trusting.
Why?
Well, how do you know it says Shelley?
Because if you ever want a Thai tat, he's like the go-to guy.
I'll bear that in mind if I ever go to Thailand.
Oh, you don't have to. He's on Kentish Town Road.
Right. I'm Charles, by the way.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Charles.
Shelley may have failed to catch the barman's eye, but she was successfully drawing attention from every other male in the marquee.
What did you do wrong to end up here?
I take it you're not a tennis fan.
I hate sport.
There goes the Olympic legacy. Why do you hate sport?
Two words, PE teachers.
That's sort of three words.
I was no good at maths either.
Right.
Thing is, when you're little, like me, you never get picked for the team.
Height, or lack of it, was Shelley's defining characteristic, and she never missed a chance to remind the world how teeny-weeny cute she was. If you hate sport so much, why did you come?
Revenge.
On whom?
Aren't you posh?
Just old. Who's the object of your revenge?
I want to get my own back. Brian Tresidder and Ken Colborne.
Why?
They're making me redundant in a few weeks. So as they're chucking money around on this, I thought I may as well turn up and drink their champagne. What's your excuse?
Oh, I've been making a video for the company.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
I fancy being on telly. Get my cheeks done, HD eyebrows, if Amy Childs can do it.
Absolutely.
I bet you'd cast me, wouldn't you?
I'm not a director.
Well, you said you were making a video.
I'm an actor.
A celebrity?
Just an actor.
I bet you know some.
Celebrities?
Yeah. Oh, go on, bet you do.
When pushed, I came up with a few dames and knights who'd get top billing in the Observer Arts section. But as none of them get papped wearing inappropriate swimwear, they didn't cut the mustard with Shelley.
Oh, empty glasses. What are we like? Top up?
Why not?
Oh, I'm liking you, Charles.
Three refills later, we'd secured a table and were getting along swimmingly, if surreally.
It's all about controlling your gag reflex.
Sorry, what is?
I'm a celebrity.
Oh, right.
I could swallow a witchetty grub and a cockroach easy.
Sounds like a regular night at my place.
What are you like, Charles?
Well, I'll get back to you when the therapy works.
I'll bet it's a right laugh around yours.
Non-stop fun. Did you ever come across a girl called Abby at Granny's Kitchen?
Yeah, I knew her a bit. Friend of yours.
I only met her briefly before she died.
Died?
Yeah.
What, like dead?
Oh, unfortunately.
What happened?
Accident at work.
Bummer.
Yeah. Shelley and Abby may not have been besties, but I expected a tad more sympathy. I was the one who found her.
Nasty.
It was. Look, tell me to mind my own business, but you don't sound that surprised.
That she died or that she died in an accident?
Either, both.
Well, I'm not one to speak ill of the dead, but Abby was trouble.
In what way?
She was one of those people you couldn't imagine growing old and dying in bed. She didn't have a regular partner or anything.
Well, that's not unusual.
And she liked to, you know, spread the love.
Well, it's not a crime.
Well, that's not.
Meaning?
Let's just say I know where the bodies are buried.
Bodies?
Well, not actual bodies.
Oh, you had me worried.
You've got to laugh.
How do you mean?
Granny's kitchen's got this squeaky clean image. If only they knew what went on behind the scenes.
What does go on?
All I'll say is Abby liked to put it around. She wasn't into monotony.
You mean monogamy?
Same diff.
Fair point.
She knew what she wanted and how to get it.
Well, what did she want?
Stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Well, expensive stuff. The more expensive, the better.
Up until then, I was still hoping to pin a motive of murder on taciturn Trevor. But what would an old-fashioned gold digger see in that grouchy git, apart from his sparkling personality?
Give her credit, she must have had something. All she had to do was walk into a room and the men would clam up like she had some sort of hold on them.
I saw that reaction with a forklift driver called Trevor.
I know the one.
I don't suppose you happen to know if there was any history between him and Abby?
No.
You sound very sure.
Well, unless it's another forklift Trevor, I am. See, women aren't his thing. Not at all.
Oh. And there was my theory floating down the Swanee. Heading back to France's, I spotted my agent coming through the crowd. We'd recently had a little spat over money, and as neither of us wanted a rerun, we both tried and failed to avoid eye contact.
Oh, hello, Morris.
Charles! I didn't see you in the crowd. Right.
Same here.
I lied. I mean, how could I have missed a vision in a cream linen suit, silk shirt, and what I'd say was very much a statement Panama?
Love the hat.
It rolls up into a tube.
While you're wearing it?
Funny.
Seriously, you look very distinguished.
Okay, you can stop there.
I mean it. Very suave. Who do you remind me
of? There we
go. No, wait, Dirk Bogard.
Really?
Yep.
I used to say I was like Simon Sparrow in the Doctor films.
I was thinking Von Aschenbach in Death in Venice.
What are you doing here, Charles?
Ditto.
It's Wimbledon.
You hate sport.
What's sport got to do with it?
Typical.
As it happens, I was captain of the school mahjong team.
Why am I not surprised?
So how did you get in?
No need to say it like that. I didn't scale the fence.
To burrow under it?
I'm a corporate guest.
No, you're not.
I am.
What corporation would possibly have you on their VIP list?
Granny's Kitchen. Remember the contract you didn't bother to attempt negotiating for me?
I was playing the long game.
Long game.
Time and a place, Charles, and this is neither.
So who invited you?
I'm here with the Society of Agents and Personal Managers.
I thought there was a whiff of sulphur in there.
Leave me to enjoy the day my way, and I'll leave you to marinate your liver in Bali.
Oh, before you get back to your cabal, whatever happened to the Woody job?
Keep it down.
You know how secretive they are about castings.
So secretive. The first I'll know I didn't get the part is when I see the movie.
You know, you really must adopt a more positive attitude.
Or a better agent.
No other agent will put up with you. Well, delightful as it would be to pass the time bantering with my favourite client, I really mustn't monopolise you.
We must do this again sometime.
We really mustn't. Adios.
I eventually found Francis, and after we'd eaten our combined body weight in Lilliputian canapes, washed down by a couple of bottles of free champagne, I managed to wipe Morris from my mind.
Carth or Mr. Paris?
Sir!
After you, Francis.
We slumped in the back of our chauffeur-driven car and floated back to our temporary houseboat lodgings on a sea of bubbles.
Thank you, driver!
Yeah. Cheers. Have a good evening.
Oh, what a day.
Not bad.
You must get beaten up more often.
Thanks for the sympathy.
Who bought you frozen peas?
Yeah, you left me to apply them.
Don't push your luck, Captain Birdseye.
Whoop, steady.
It's the gravel.
Yeah, you knocked back a couple of litres of gravel. Now what are you doing?
Taking off my shoes.
What for?
I don't trust that rickety little gangplank.
You don't need the gangplank. You just step aboard.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
I can.
You've got a bigger stride.
Come on.
No.
Look, I jump up. I jump down. I jump up. I jump down.
You're rocking the boat.
Up. Down.
Well done.
Up. Down.
Very impressive.
Just give me your hand.
No.
Don't be silly. Just take my hand.
You can't have one leg on and one leg off.
Yes, I can. I can't. Oh, whoa. Oh, take my jacket.
Why?
It's my phone, my entire life.
Supered you up.
Oh, God knows what's in that water. I could get Vial's disease. I probably need a jab.
At least your phone's dry.
Well, I'm glad you find it funny.
I do. I really, really do.
Oh. Hi, Will.
If only he could see you.
Shh. No, I've had a shower and the boat gets a bit nippy in the evening. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that's fine. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.
How old are you, Francis?
Listen to Peter Pan. You cannot take the moral high ground sitting there in wet pants and socks.
Pass me another towel, will you? Oh, thanks. That was Will asking me to a meeting at Granny's kitchen with Brian and Ken.
So that'll be thank you, Francis, for rescuing my phone.
Thank you, Francis, for rescuing my phone.
My pleasure. Oh. Don't forget to send Frankie's love to Ken.
Yeah, well, he can call me what he likes, providing the money keeps rolling in.
Tea?
Stick a tot of scotch in mine.
What was going on with you and the lingerie model?
According to her Thai tat, she's called Shelley.
You don't speak Thai.
Nor does she, but she did tell me some useful stuff about Abby.
Does Sherlock want to share?
I'd say Philip Marlowe.
Let's agree, Columbo without the dress sense.
It appears that Abby was a predatory gold digger.
As opposed to a hearted gold digger.
But here's the thing. Trevor is gay.
So, an unlikely target for her undoubted charms.
Which begs the question, who else might have wanted Abby dead?
Which begs the answer, assuming it wasn't just an accident.
The way Trevor was trying to point the finger of suspicion at me, I'm sure something was up.
OK. So, you're looking for a man high enough on the pay scale to attract Abby and with a reason to want her dead.
Yeah.
Obvious. Brian Tressider. He's the head honcho. He must make a packet.
He's also started the company, so he's got the most to lose from a scandal. But would he really fall for that old honey trap?
He's a man.
Not all men are driven by lust. Don't look at me like that.
What about Ken Colborne?
He's devoted to Tricia.
And a man.
Can we drop the lazy gender stereotypes?
I'm quite assiduous about my stereotypes.
But you're better than that. If I dissed all women...
Okay. How about this? Ken and Tricia's sex life has suffered because of her illness.
Sex lives can suffer without illness.
There's nothing less erotic than self-pity.
Thought for the day.
Okay, you win. The point is, if Ken's not getting any, he might look elsewhere.
Abby.
Younger woman, middle-aged man, he's married but flattered. Stop me if I've heard this story before.
Ha ha.
I heard a piece about happily married couples where one loses libido and sanctions the other to find alternative outlets.
Outlets? You sure it wasn't a piece about plumbing?
It was on Woman's Hour.
Of course it was.
You're seeing Ken tomorrow. You can tackle him then.
Good thinking. I'll take him aside and ask if his sex life suffered with his wife's illness. Or maybe I'll just ask if he was screwing Abby.
You don't have to be that blunt. But you know the way personal stuff comes out naturally over a coffee.
Not my personal stuff. Blokes don't go in for touchy-feely.
Now, who's gender stereotype?
Trust me, the most emotion I'll get out of Ken Colvin is his deep sadness at the price of car insurance. There's nothing like insecurity and the promise of cash to get an actor out of bed. And as Granny's kitchen was situated on a distant industrial estate, Will Parton promised to pick me up in his 4x4 Envirobasher.
Can you smell damp?
It's my shoes. I had a little mishap last night.
Oh, okay. None of us are getting any younger.
Not that kind of mishap.
Haven't you got another pair?
Two pairs of shoes? Do I look like a Russian oligarch?
Is this a lefty ideological thing? Because I bet even Lenin had a pair of black and a pair of brown.
It's nothing to do with politics. It would just blow my system.
You've got a system?
Yeah.
A shoe-buying system?
It's very simple. I buy one pair a year unless the current ones fall apart, whichever comes first.
Well, one of these days I'm going to take a trip to planet Paris just to see how you live.
I take it this meeting is about the next video.
It's about that product launch I mentioned. Granny's Kitchen are broadening their portfolio and going into vintage-style food.
They should look in my fridge.
Yeah, they say the next big thing will be eating the past.
Rationing chic.
If there's a market, they'll sell it.
Why am I here?
I'm producing the launch at a Mayfair hotel, but one of the execs can't speak.
Well, literally?
He's developed glossophobia. He's terrified of standing up in front of an audience. You can see where I'm going with this.
You want me to coach him?
I want you to do it.
Oh, I'm not a businessman.
Oh, you're an actor playing a businessman.
Understudy a suit.
Not understudy. Stunt double.
A new career high.
He's okay.
I'm cake intolerant.
They loved your genial forklift operator.
This is out of my comfort zone.
No.
I'm not a corporate man.
The money's good.
How good?
Very good.
I'll give it my best shot.
Ka-ching! Capitalism 1, socialism 0.
Shut up and drive. In the event, it turned out to be one of those meetings where there was no apparent reason for my presence. No one knew why I was there, or who'd invited me. But there I was, and everyone was far too English and polite to ask why.
Will, good of you to come in.
Hi.
And Charles.
Hello.
It's, nice to see you again. Oh, Ken.
Sorry I'm late.
You're fine.
Thanks for coming in, Will.
Not at all.
And Charles.
Yes, Charles is here.
So I see. Nice to see you again.
That's what I was saying.
It's nice of you to ask me in.
Yes. No, not at all. I mean, it's nice of you to
be here.
Exactly. I think Ken wanted you to... Was it? Yes. Ken. Yes? No?
Well...
That's right. Yeah, Ken thought it would be a good idea.
I thought it'd be a good idea.
Sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. Heather, you know Will.
Of course.
I tried my damnedest to get you into the video.
I'm not one for the limelight.
Heather was Brian's PA, and this trio went way back to the early days when Granny's Kitchen was a tiny company operating out of Brian's garage.
I'm much more your behind-the-scenes backroom girl.
Girl being very much an honorific.
Of course, you remember Charles.
Charles? Yes, I didn't know you were going to.
No.
All eyes were now on Will, who had the look of a man wondering whether he should have spent longer reading his emails before asking an actor to attend a meeting for no apparent reason. I'm afraid the last time we met was after the accident.
That's a day I'm not in a hurry to repeat.
Certainly not.
No. Terrible business.
Terrible.
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 Dreadful. Well, somebody had to ring the changers.
So, before I go to lunch, I wondered if anyone wanted tea.
Yep. Tea, anyone.
Or coffee.
Or coffee.
Not for me, thanks.
I'm fine.
No, thanks.
I think we're all good, thanks, Heather.
If you boys are absolutely sure...
Boys was also an honorific.
Looks like we're fine, thanks, Heather.
Okie dokie. I'll let you get on, then.
Brian, Ken and Will clearly had business to attend to, business which was clearly none of mine. It was time for me to take matters in hand and find some justification for being there so I could cut and run.
Will tells me one of your executives suffers from stage fright.
That's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
That's Bob. Poor old Bob. It's like a phobia.
Well, it is a phobia.
Glossophobia.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Anyway, it came on him all of a sudden.
And you'd like me to do his presentation for him?
Would we?
We would.
We would.
Indeed, brilliant.
If you're up for that.
Absolutely, no problem at all.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
That's a real help, exactly.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
That's all right.
I hate to do this, but you've got business to discuss. Do you mind if I...
No, not at all.
Go ahead.
I have never been happier to see your well-moisturised face flash across my screen.
You've got my photo on your phone.
Is that a problem?
I feel violated.
Hardly.
Like you've stolen a piece of my soul.
You're an agent. You haven't got a soul.
Where did you get a photo of me?
When you put me up for a few nights, I took a shot of you in that onesie you brought back from L.A.
I have never in my life worn a onesie, and you have no right to snap me in my inner sanctum, especially when I'm kicking back and chillaxing after a hard day dealing with ungrateful clients. If that photo ever appears in the public domain, you will feel the full force of my ire. Comprende?
Perfectly. Why did you call?
I can't remember now.
Great.
Oh, yes. Not that you deserve it, but the Woody Project is looking a tad more likely.
You're kidding.
Don't go cracking bottles of Albanian bubbly just yet, but it's come down to a few faces, and yours is in the mix.
Don't they want me to read?
They're being very cagey about the script, but if they do, it'll be soon, because they're due to start next month.
I hope it won't clash with my next corporate job.
A phrase you will never hear from Michael Caine.
He's not one of yours.
Not for want of trying. Why were you so pleased to hear from me?
I've been stuck in the meeting from hell at Granny's Kitchen.
Oh, what's that about?
They asked me to do a presentation.
I hope they're paying you.
Yeah.
I haven't had the paperwork.
Oh, haven't you?
You weren't going to try and slip this one under my radar, were you, Charles?
You should know me better than that by now.
The trouble is, I know you better than you know you. Much better.
Peeping through the glass door, Ken and Brian were nodding as Will continued to spout meaninglessly, hands flapping with wild, if insincere, enthusiasm. With an urge for a lunchtime scotch, I took the lift down to the ground floor.
Hello, Charles.
Heather.
Meeting finished?
Almost.
Right.
And I need to get something from Will's car.
Uh-huh.
In the car park.
Obviously.
Born sensible. Heather was one of those people who'd finally grown into her age, and something about her made me feel like a guilty schoolboy.
You know where the car park is?
Yeah, thanks.
Good.
Right.
Right. Well, see you, Charles.
I decided I may as well have something to feel guilty about, so I sneaked back into the warehouse for one last look around the site of Abby's accident and my humiliating assault. It was lunchtime and the place was deserted. A question had been nagging away at me. Why had Abby from sales been snooping around on the shop floor? Pallets of neo-vintage homeware products towered above me, but my interest was at ground level, where I'd found Abby lying in a pool of her own blood.
Wow, what's behind here?
There was a narrow gap between the pallets and the wall against which she'd been crushed.
Note to self. Ease off the carbs and the cooked breakfast. Oh. No. Maybe if I climb up.
Clambering onto a pallet of chintzy 1940s-style smart band cases, I sprawled on my front and fumbled for the eco-torch Francis gave me for just such moments. Peering down behind the pallets, I could just make out a little door. It seemed to be some sort of store cupboard. I managed to prise the door open, just enough to fish around inside. I could feel something plastic, shiny.
A CD case. Oh, damn.
My fingertips found a second case, and this time I got a firm enough grip to retrieve it. A plain transparent case containing a disc, blank apart from the number 2 in black marker. I leaned over for further investigation when...
Oi! Hey, what's going on?
Stupid question. The pallet was being raised and I was going with it.
Okay, you've had your fun.
I realised fun wasn't the intention when I saw the top of Trevor's head and the rest of him sitting in the driver's seat. The platform was rising higher, along with my heartbeat and blood pressure. Pretty soon the machine would reach full extension, and then what?
I decided not to find out. If I was going to die, I'd rather be proactive in the matter. Wobbling to my feet, I shuffled to the edge, took possibly my last deep breath, and launched myself towards the next tower of pallets.
Oh, my shin!
Precariously clinging to the tower, my legs thrashed around in space, trying to get a purchase on something, anything, before Trevor could turn the machine around. One foot gained a toehold, but my weight dislodged something which gave way. Clambering down, I found Trevor knocked to the ground, lying semi-conscious between a wreck of planks and heavy boxes. One leg looked broken.
Ambulance. A man's being crushed by some boxes. I think he's broken a leg. What boxes? It looks like they contain ironically vintage walking sticks. Ironically.
In Corporate Bodies, Charles is played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Will is Tim McInerney, Brian Michael Burtonshaw, Heather Jane Whittenshaw, Ken David Cann, Tricia Heather Craney, and Shelley Jamie Barbakoff. Corporate Bodies is written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director is Sally Avens.